This is Robert Martellacci, the Mindshare Learning Report, Canada's leading learning and technology magazine. I have the good fortune of having a Mindshare Learning moment with John Steele, a senior business development manager at Dell Education Canada and former CIO of a large district school board in the greater Toronto area. He joins me this morning, and thank you for joining me, John.
Well, thanks very much for the opportunity, Robert. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
You, over the last year and a half or so, have made a transformation from being a school district CIO and going into the industry side. And I see that as a real opportunity to bring value and knowledge, an immense knowledge base. And it's been an interesting transformation, no doubt. And perhaps you can share and reflect about the challenges and opportunities and trends that you're seeing emerging.
Well, thanks, Robert. For sure. I mean, it's very interesting when you move from the public sector into the private sector, and you've had an opportunity to spend the majority of your working life in one industry, that being education. I have some general observations that I've seen certainly in my time outside of public education, and certainly as I work with customers from the K-12 college and university space across the country, I see lots of highly qualified, experienced, and creative people working in education. Whether you're in IT or whether you're in curriculum, there's some really super qualified people working in the space. One thing for sure is that the CIO needs to sit at the executive table and needs to be better understood from their role. I think for most of the customers that I work with, where I see strong indicators of success, that is the case. The CIO is regarded as an executive, and there's still a challenge about what the role of the CIO really is. Certainly IT wants to be an enabler. There's not a single IT professional that I talk to across the country that doesn't have the best interests of students at heart. In fact, they're looking for really creative ways that are effective to implement to, you know, turn the tap on to technology and make it an enabler for learning. The observation I see, which is unique to education, it was certainly the case when I was a teacher, is that the faculty demands IT autonomy. So you've got these two sort of contradicting styles. The IT staff, the IT professionals, love standards because they feel that they can support standards in a much better way. But faculty want a lot more autonomy, and they want to be able to do whatever it is they need to do in their classroom in order to enable their students to succeed. The trends that I'm seeing across the country are pretty much well documented, so it's really quite nice to see them validated in my visits and in my discussions. There's a huge shift from print to digital. And school districts are still struggling with that e-textbook concept, but I certainly see fast-forwarding 5-10 years that we probably are going to see a much greater adoption of electronic resources in that regard. There's a tremendous shift towards mobility and multiple devices per users. So what we're seeing, for example, in schools that have adopted a BYOD model is that on average, any time during the day, you're seeing twice as many devices as you have people in the building on the network. And certainly leading into that, of course, is BYOD. It's the massive mega trend I would see across all sectors of education, that students and faculty want to bring in their own personal devices to use. And as a result, what's happening is IT is now being forced to kind of change the way they're doing things almost in a reactive way. Ubiquitous wireless is another huge mega trend. I mean, obviously, BYOD means that you need to provide reliable, robust, secure connectivity. And so we're seeing a lot of schools and school districts start to adopt ubiquitous wireless solutions. Personalized learning is a topic that I hear everywhere, and there's different interpretations of what that means. There's still districts struggling with just traditional online learning. They're really just taking what we consider to be normal lessons and activities, and they're just posting them up on an online learning management system. And they're calling that their online or personalized learning environment. But that's again, it's an evolution, and the folks will figure it out as certainly as the technology evolves. And then the last mega trend that I'm seeing, of course, is cloud adoption. So when we see BYOD models starting to be implemented and we see ubiquitous wireless, there are really two models that we see out there that are being adopted in the schools. One is, we call it the Starbucks model, where they're just providing users with straight internet access. Mm-hmm. And the other, of course, would be access to a role-based dashboard specific to who you are within the school district, college, or university, determines which resources you get access to. The latter is a much more difficult environment to set up and manage. And so what's happening then is the organizations that are providing internet access only are really opening up, I'm going to call them rogue cloud-based services that the teachers and students are adopting, that I think really need to be sort of analyzed a little bit more carefully before they continue.
And that's a big part of this disruption that's happening right now. Is that the grassroots level?
It is, and in fact, pretty much all of the trends we've seen in that regard, some of the major trends, are disruptive, and they're starting at grassroots. So what that's telling us is that if the school districts, colleges, universities aren't going to manage it or aren't going to plan for it, the students and faculty will make it happen regardless. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. That's just an indication that these folks really want to make a difference in teaching and learning. And to that end, I mean, one of my recommendations I'd like to see more of is more formal ICT governance and strategic technology planning in place that will enable a lot of these really innovative initiatives to happen in a controlled manner.
And one of the interesting outcomes of our infographic on our national EdTech survey was that the majority of teachers weren't aware of the district ICT strategy.
I have yet to see, to that point, Robert, I have yet to see a single school district, and it doesn't mean there isn't one, just the ones I've seen, that I would say has a really pragmatic strategic technology plan, meaning that it aligns with their fiscal realities and their own local constraints, that they actually measure their progress against. And as a result, what we're seeing is tremendous inefficiencies in the way some monies are spent. If I look, for example, at the provincial level, let's take the province of Ontario as just one example, and it's not indicative of every province, but it just is the point I want to make, is that with 72 school districts in Ontario, for example, every school district has the choice of what student information system they want to use, what transportation system, what HR system, what finance system, and so on. And then it's the responsibility of the IT staff to integrate those systems together. And if you can imagine the duplication of effort between school districts, all required to report the same information back to the ministry. The question I have is, are there efficiencies that could be gained through putting together a task force at the provincial levels across the country to analyze what kind of money is required? First of all, what technology is required? What kind of funding is required to design and implement and sustain that technology? And I think just my own feeling on it would be that we'd realize considerable efficiencies and savings that could be applied towards more teaching and learning, to more initiatives that are directly related to teaching and learning.
Hence, when it comes to funding challenges, perhaps it's a matter of shifting resources or making more efficient use of resources. I've heard many times where, you know, the premier or minister of education will go into a school and the computers aren't turned on, or the smart board sitting in the box in the corner. You know, it just doesn't seem like it's mission critical stuff, or perceived that way, that in business you buy something and you turn it on right away because you need it.
That's a very good point, Robert. I think for me, what I'm seeing is that what's really lacking from a systemic perspective is proper, effective professional development opportunities for teachers. When I speak to teachers across the country and I ask them about access to technology and what their major barrier is, interestingly enough, it's really not access. They all have some personal device, and most of their students have access to something as well. Their challenge is the time that it takes to be trained effectively on how to use that technology as a pedagogical tool. And on top of that, the cost associated with making that time available for teachers is extensive because you really need to cover for the cost of a supply teacher as well as having that teacher out of the classroom. And when that teacher's out of the classroom, he or she has to create lessons for the supply teacher to deliver. So there needs to be time built into the instructional day or the instructional cycle for teachers to engage in active, collaborative professional learning opportunities.
What about faculties of education? Are you seeing across the country a movement to transforming? I mean, I was impressed. I was in one faculty of education recently that was installing some of your technology and some leading edge. They were creating a very innovative classroom.
And I think I know which faculty of education that is. And certainly we see some faculties of ed. I don't have intimate knowledge of all of them for sure, but I know that the ones I've spoken with, and I've spoken to quite a few, have a very strong interest in transforming the way that teachers teach when they actually get into their roles, whether it be in K-12 institutions or even higher ed. Certainly what we'd like to see are more partnerships formed between school districts and the faculties of ed. And we'd like to see the faculties of ed, and this is what they're telling me, receive research funding and grant money related to improving pedagogy for their faculty as well. And right now, the challenge is getting funding to support the development of professional learning models for their faculty.
It's a great idea.
Yeah, so I really like to see industry partners partner with faculties of education as well as different school boards to sort of make all of that happen.
Dell's got a vast array of technology and services, traditionally known as a hardware provider, but you've got some great technology, and I'm very proud to have my Dell Ultrabook XPS, which is awesome. But you've got hardware, and then you've got software and services wrapped around that's emerging around the cloud, for example. So what's new and exciting?
Well, Dell, for many years, you're right, Robert, we're known predominantly as a hardware reseller, manufacturer, and seller. We did it so well that people kind of forgot that there's a whole other side to Dell. Interestingly, the over 100,000 employees in our company globally, we have over 45,000 folks that work in the services business. We have a complete part of our company dedicated to education. So K-12, college, and universities. What we've been really excited about recently, aside from all of our enterprise back-end infrastructural components and services, has been the launch of our Windows 8 mobile devices. By far and away, I think, from my experience working with the company, the neatest and most exciting devices that we've ever launched. So just to give some examples, our Ultrabook, so the sub-3-pound XPS 13 has taken our customer base by storm. Everyone that uses it finds it incredibly fast, incredibly light, really durable, rugged, and definitely meets their needs from a work and play perspective. We have some beautiful tablets that we've just announced with Windows 8. We have the XPS 10, which runs Windows RT, so the runtime version of Windows 8. As a built-in version of Office RT, so the files that you write in there, whether it be Word, PowerPoint, Excel, are fully compatible to the full-blown version of Office. And then we have the Latitude 10, which is a business-class tablet that you would really can substitute for a laptop as well when you connect it to its docking station. But it's, again, something that we see schools really wanting to...
I look forward to test driving one. That keyboard is still an essential part of the ecosystem, isn't it?
It is. With the Latitude 10 and the XPS 10, those two tablets, you can use them in traditional slate form and with all of the gestures and touch functionality that Windows 8 provides. But you can also get them with covers that have integrated keyboards, so it makes the experience really useful regardless in which way you're using the device. And the nice thing about the Latitude 10 is that, and thanks for this opportunity, Robert, to push our products, but the Latitude 10 will run Windows 8 Pro, so you can also run your legacy Windows 7 applications on that device as well.
Fantastic. Well, you know, you spend a lot of time traveling the country, and you see many success stories, and you seem really excited about the future of learning and technology in Canada?
I can't think of a better group of customers to work with than those in education. If you think back to when calculators were introduced in around 1972 or 73, that was a very disruptive time for teachers. In a similar way, when the internet really sort of mushroomed and is pretty much used everywhere in the country, it's similar, obviously, probably more complex disruption, but back when the calculator was introduced, teachers didn't know whether they should allow students to bring them into the classroom because all they marked was the answer. They didn't care about the process. So now, more than any time, I think, in my career, and in fact, in speaking with folks in the education industry as well, there's never been a greater need for teachers to get together and collaborate on the development of effective pedagogy that they can use in their classroom. So I am seeing some examples of success. There are pockets of success. I haven't seen systemic transformation to anyone's satisfaction, that being the central office staff as well as teachers in general, anywhere. Not to say that it doesn't exist. There are private schools that have certainly achieved greater levels of success, but they live in kind of a different reality. But I certainly see lots of really strong effort and lots of really strong planning in place. And specifically, you look at some examples. If you look at the province of Alberta, what they're doing with their BYOD guideline and their digital citizenship documents.
Yeah. Very forward-thinking.
Very forward-thinking. In fact, there's school divisions in Calgary that I'm really excited to be working with that are really doing some interesting things from a classroom perspective. And, teachers, by and large, I've yet to meet a teacher. That's the exciting thing about the job, is whenever we run workshops with our teachers to leverage the value of technology as a teaching and learning tool, every one of them comes to workshop fully prepared to work for the entire day. They often work through the lunch, even though we tell them they have to, you know, take a break and go get something to eat. They actually work on the activities that we give them, so they're very committed, very dedicated. And I see a real strong interest in teachers across the country to really make a difference. I like the Don Tapscott video, a little clip that talks about kids are all right. I'm not sure if you've seen it.
Yeah.
But I think overall, in spite of some of the doom and gloom that's out there, and that there certainly is lots of room for improvement, as a nation, we're certainly doing very well with the kids, and I think our teachers in general are really the ones to commend for the efforts that we're seeing.
Well, fantastic conversation, and I always enjoy connecting with you and knowledge sharing. And certainly, you know, we can't rest on our laurels, and there's lots of opportunities for us to make a difference today. And certainly, you've enlightened us with your knowledge and sharing today for our December MindShare Learning Report. And thank you so much again, John Steele. That was John Steele, Senior Business Development Manager of Dell Education Canada. And my name is Robert Martellacci of the MindShare Learning Report. And until next time, keep the learning curve steep.